Good morning. Great day to be together and worshiping the Lord. I'm going to tell you something about myself this morning. I love pizza. And I've made somewhere around 600 plus pizzas in the last 9 years. You know, it's rare that we sit down and share a pizza and don't finish it and say, boy, that was one of the best pizzas you've made yet. Everyone is different, from standard flat pizzas to folded over like calzones or strombolis to deep dish in a cast iron skillet on the grill. I'm always experimenting. When I was about 10, my mom gave me an Italian cookbook so I could learn how to make pizza. I'm picky about the toppings, and I don't stray far from the traditional except for once in a while. But I do play with the dough, constantly trying different things with it to make it better. Pizza is a religion in the truest sense. I do certain things, and I expect a certain result, and that result makes me happy. Religion's the same way. We think we can manipulate the spiritual world, so we do certain things expecting a certain result, so we're pleased. I can explain the science behind the rising of the dough. I make my own sauce from plum tomatoes, and I would make my own cheese if I could get good milk. And don't even get me started on the state of the milk in the United States today. People ask me for the recipe, but I don't have one except the starting point, and that's a specific amount of water. I love pizza. And there is nothing that you can do to convince me that it's bad for me. If I could have pizza every day, I would. What in the world does this have to do with God? Let's pray this morning and ask God to open our minds to find out. Father in heaven, we are grateful that you love us. Without you in our lives, we would have no significance, no purpose. This life would be meaningless from start to end. And Father, we are grateful that you give us meaning. Thank you, Lord, for the things that you bring into our life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. From the time we're born, our nature tells us that the universe should revolve around me and my needs. We love ourselves. It affects every area of our life. And if someone else has deeply affected us to believe we're worth this, we still are striving to love ourselves and get our needs met. It's our nature to love ourselves, and no one can fully convince us that we're worthless. Because of this, it's our nature to not be interested in a relationship with God because he asks us to give up our natural thinking, give up our identity, and take on the identity of Christ. So you don't want anything to do with God because you have to give up the very thing that you cherish. I love pizza. This is who I am. And if you try to convince me to change my thinking, I'm going to rebel because I love pizza. I love myself. This is who I am. And if you try to convince me to change my thinking, I'm going to rebel because I love myself. I choose to go my own way and fail to live up to God's standards. Folks, this is called sin. And this is the reality. No one can ever naturally seek God. No one can ever naturally turn to God or strive to find him. Your natural bent is to love yourself so that you will never be interested in God and you will constantly be living in a state of rebellion, in other words, sin. The Gospel of John states in the third chapter, verses 19 through 20, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. So everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. You see, on our own, it's impossible to be saved. You don't just wake up one day and say, I think I'm going to find God today. That would be the furthest thing from your thoughts. Two passages that describe this are Romans 8:28 and Ephesians 1:3-4. Let me read those passages to you this morning. It's Romans 8:28. Bear with me as I find this. And we know that in all things God works to the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Paul says, God is doing things in your life for your benefit because you have been called according to his purpose. In Ephesians chapter 1, I should have marked these this morning, but I didn't. Ephesians 1, verses 3 and 4. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Both these passages tell me something about myself, and they tell me something about God. In order for me to know God, I have to be called. And these passages tell me two things. Number one, it tells me that I'm running away from God. Paul expresses this best in Ephesians 2:1. Before God's call, I was dead in my transgressions and sin. Think about that. A dead person knows only one state, deadness. They can't change that. They can't even think about the fact they're dead or how to change that state or that there would be even another state. Dead is dead. You can't get around that. Paul says we are dead in our transgressions and sin. You cannot change the state you're in. It's impossible. Something external has to change your state. Secondly, only when God changes my state of existence can I truly know him, making me alive again out of that state of deadness. I'm dead. That's all I know. And God comes. He's called me before the creation of the universe. And out of that deadness, I'm awake. And he changes me to be alive in Jesus Christ. Now, Scripture tells us there's a couple types of calls upon our life. The first one is a general call or universal call. Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Solomon expresses God as wisdom in Proverbs, calling out to people in chapter 2, verse 8, to you, O men, I call out, I raise my voice to all mankind. Paul states in Romans 2:14 that the requirement of the law, how we should view God and how we should treat mankind, are written on everyone's heart. Deep inside you, God has left that requirement. How do children know what is right and wrong without you telling them? You tell them, don't touch that. They touch it anyway, and they know they did wrong. How do they know that? It's written in their hearts, instinctively. God says, I left my evidence in creation. and I left my evidence in your heart. And you have no excuse to not know me. Everyone receives the universal call of God, yet no one responds to that call. You see, I can say that because if anybody could respond to what they see of God in nature, what they know of God in their heart, there would be no need for Christ. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Jesus Christ. The second type of call is a very specific call. God uses special tactics and a specific call to bring his children out of this world. Paul instructs Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:25 that those in opposition are to be gently instructed in hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of truth, and they will come to their senses and escape the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. God will never make you do something that you do not want to do. His tactic with you is to gently, tenderly call you home. A loving, gracious God. He will allow you to go through terrible things to get you to the point where you can hear that gentle, tender call of his to come home because he loves you. Peter uses a very specific Greek word to describe God's calling to you in 2 Peter 1:3. This word describes how God is drawing us to him, gently, tenderly drawing us to him, attracting us to him. He doesn't just throw the invitation out there and hope you come. He is actively working gently, tenderly to draw you to him. And those who call, God calls end up mouthing the words of Peter in John chapter 6. Where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. This idea of a specific call to individuals that God knew before the creation of the universe is all throughout Scripture. We have brought this up before. And I would say that most, if not all of you who call yourselves believers, have sensed the existence of God in your life since you were little. In comparison to those that are not interested in God who have never sensed God in their life. God calls children out of this world and into a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you will not want to go anywhere else. Now, that being all the case, you may say, well, God's going to draw who he will. God's got those marked for salvation. I don't have to do anything. That is not true. You do not know who God has marked for salvation. There's no S on their back for you to spin around and say, oh yeah, hold on, I want to tell you something. God has given you the responsibility to share the good news with all the world, not just some. All the world. If you've got Jesus Christ in your life, you need to share it with other people, because you don't know, that homeless drunk on the corner could be marked for salvation at some point, and you can be the instrument that God is going to use to bring that person there. You don't know. You have a responsibility in one manner or another to share the good news, whether it's kindness, a good word, outright sharing the gospel, sacrificial actions toward another person. All because of Jesus Christ in your life. You don't know who God has set aside for salvation. God injects himself into your life to bring people out Otherwise, we would never leave what we know and what is comfortable. And he brings us out into a life honoring to him. He changes your love for yourself into a deep love for him. My very nature, my love for myself, the universe revolves around me. I want to do everything so I can feel good. God changes that so you incrementally begin to let that go and gain a desire to love God and want to please him instead of loving yourself and wanting to please yourself. And in the process of all that, God promises to keep, to hold on to those who love him. So can you lose your salvation? If you love God through Jesus Christ and don't want to go anywhere else, then God promises to hold on to you and keep you. Yeah. You have assurance of salvation. Love God and desire to do his will. So let's look at it this way. God looks into the future and he saw you, and for some reason known only to himself, said, "That one's mine." Versus somebody else who is not his. From the moment your life was conceived, God had his hand on you, gently drawing you to himself and into Jesus Christ. He gave you freedom to explore life, make mistakes, have failures and victories, but all the time he was gently nudging you and guiding you into a position where you realized that only through a relationship with Jesus did life have meaning. You came to a point that you realized that you had wasted years in rebellion against his definition of good and evil, all the while trying to find peace with yourself. A good example of this is when our adult children come back to us and say, "Mom or Dad, you know, you used to tell me these things and I wished I would have listened. It would have saved me years of frustration and difficulty and pain if I only listened to you." You see, folks, this is called repentance. God tells us, instructs us, gives us information, provides the way, and say, "I will carry your load. But you need to trust me completely, like a little child trusts their father up to a certain age." God says, "Trust me." And we get to that point in our life where we realize we wasted years in rebellion against him. And we step back and say, "God, I want to listen to you. I want to obey you. You have the words that lead to life." Folks, this is called repentance. We turn to God and say, "You were right. I'm sad about how I acted, and I want to listen to you and trust you completely now." Jesus in Matthew 18, as I alluded to, placed a child in the midst of the disciples, probably Peter's son, and said, "If you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you've got to be like that child. That child completely trusts his father. You have to completely trust your father for you to be in the kingdom of heaven." Not trusting yourself, not saying, "I can save myself," but rather saying, "Only God can save me through Jesus Christ." Even though we're not perfect or sinless throughout the rest of our life, we know where we need to be, and we know where we want to be. And that is in a deep relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So then, as Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. It's God who is working you to desire to be obedient to him, not you. See, God does the savings. We need to be cautious with fear and trembling to be obedient to him because we sense that he is working in us. If you feel that God is working in your life, then we need to be serious about making sure that we are always loving God. And Paul calls this working out our salvation with fear and trembling. Well, how do you know you're called? It's really simple. If you sensed it all your life and can't imagine being anywhere else than in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, then you are called. It's that simple. And when the relationship is not going well, you know the solution. And it's stop doing what you're doing and get close to him again. My friends, that call never ends. Jesus is always calling you into a deeper relationship with himself. You see, a person who's not called will not care. Look to Jesus as your Lord and live for the hope and life that you will have in him. I love pizza. But you know what? Only God can convince me that there's something better. I love myself. And only in God have I ever come to understand that it's more important to love him, to want his desires and purpose for my life rather than my own. I hope this is the case with all of you folks, that you've given your life, your hopes and dreams and desires over to God and taken on the attitude, the thinking of his son, Jesus Christ, so that you can find purpose in your life. God is tenderly and gently calling you home through Jesus Christ. Don't you want to go home? Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for your word. We are so grateful for your assurance that we have sensed the presence of you in our lives. We have always known your existence. And we have always come back to you, even though we've strayed, because we know where we need to be. We have that assurance, Almighty God, that we are in Jesus Christ because we love you. Thank you, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.